and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our study of dispensations, we've been taking a dispensational walk from the beginning to the beginning. Genesis chapter 1 talks about the beginning and the beginning God. Well, we go all the way to the book of Revelation, and we see another beginning, the beginning of eternity, what we call eternity. Now, of course, eternity always has been. There's never been a beginning with God. We look at God as always being in eternity. But right now, I'd like for us to look once again at the second dispensation, and that is the dispensation of conscience. And what I'd like to do, now we're getting to the end of this dispensation, and I'd like to talk about walking out of dispensation number 2 of conscience and walking into dispensation number 3, and that is of human government. Well, God has always had a plan. Nothing has ever taken God by surprise. And as we study the Bible, the more and more we study, we find this to be true. That there's nothing that takes God by surprise. Why? Why is that? Well, He's God. He knows everything. He's omniscient. And not only is He omniscient, He's all-powerful. He is one that is omnipotent. That means all-powerful. Well, how did the dispensation of conscience end? We see in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 1 that humanity multiplies. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. That is Genesis chapter 6 and verse 1. And we continue on by seeing that God sees how man is constantly wicked, evil in actions and even in thoughts. Well, it seems as though man was always looking for and thinking of ways to sin. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." I believe we can look around today and see that same evidence in man today, that there's wickedness, and it's throughout all of the earth. The imaginations of man and the thoughts of his heart, they're evil continually, even today, even as we've read of in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. Well, then we look and we see that man was violent and had tainted God's reputation. Man had corrupted what God had created. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, "And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." And then we continue reading in the book of Genesis chapter 6, verses 11 through 13, and it keeps describing what had happened and what was going on during this time of conscience. We start reading in verse 11 of Genesis chapter 6, and it says, "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his," and that's God's way, "upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth." He's saying man is so evil that something has to be done. Man has corrupted everything. And God's saying that I created it good. You go back and you read about the creation, how God created everything. And each day of the creation, he said, "It is good." So man, now, and we're reading in this section of Scripture about conscience in this dispensation, how that man has corrupted everything that God did. God said he's going to destroy mankind. He says, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Well, we keep reading, and we find different things taking place during this time. And let me say this, there is no way that I or anyone else in doing short lessons on this can do justice as to what everything that was going on during this time of conscience, this dispensation of conscience. No way that we can do it. What I try to do is hit the high points, what I would call high points, things that I see that stand out. And you need to get into the scripture and see what stands out to you. No, I'm not telling you to change the scriptures. I'm saying get into the scriptures and let God speak to your heart. Let him guide you. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you and I have a responsibility to God. That is, those of us who are saved, we have a responsibility to study the word of God and let God speak to our heart. Now, he doesn't speak to us audibly. He speaks to us through his word. Well, these times that we're studying about here and during this dispensation of conscience, not only do we see corruption throughout all of the earth, and God describes some of that corruption. It says in the word of God that there were daughters of men, not of God. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 1 talks about that, and we're going to read starting with verse 2 in just a moment, but it talks about daughters of men. It says daughters of men, and this means they were not of God. Well, I'm going to read that verse. We've read it, but I'm going to read it again. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 1, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. Men, born unto men. It's important for us to understand this, and you'll see what I'm speaking of in just a moment. These daughters of men were daughters of mankind in general. Now, there were sons, according to the verses that I'm getting ready to read, there were sons and godly men of God. Genesis chapter 6, verses 2 through 4. It says that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. Well, I believe that according to the word of God, that these were godly men. We can say they were saved men who went into ungodly women, the people who had never been born again, these women. Well, some believe the term sons of God refers to fallen angels. Now, I believe this assumption is based on such scriptures as Job chapter 1 and verse 6, where it says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And we keep reading in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 2 that I've already read, and we look once again in Job chapter 2 and verse 1. It says again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. Well, there's other verses. Job chapter 38 and verse 7, it says, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Jude chapter 1 and verse 6. There's only one chapter of Jude, but I always say the first chapter. Jude 1, 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Well, these couldn't have been the sons of God because they're held captive in everlasting chains under darkness, according to that verse. Well, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. It says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment. You see, we not only need to look at words in the scriptures, we must also always look into what context these words are written. To whom are the words written, and why were they written? These are some of the questions that we need to ask as we study the Scriptures. Well, there's some things that we need to think about concerning these daughters of men and the sons of God. Some things to think about. You see, God would never allow fallen angels to be called sons of God. And if an angel could take a human wife, it would be contrary to God's order of life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 39 and 40. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. And there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Notice those words that I just read. Celestial. This means heavenly. Now some would say, well, this is speaking of the moon, the stars, and all that. Well, the word celestial means heavenly. This could refer to angels. And then we see the word terrestrial. This word means earthy or earthly. So this could be speaking of mankind. Well, once again, the Bible says that you cannot mix the two. There's no way to mix those two. And, you know, I've had folks also to say, well, the Holy Spirit, you know, Jesus was born by the Holy Spirit. Well, let me remind you that the Holy Spirit is God. He's not an angel. He's God. The Bible says that a virgin would conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. The Holy Spirit is not an angel. Therefore, you cannot use that as a comparison of saying that these angels these sons of God were actually angels who commingled with earthly women. It's impossible because you cannot mix the two. Well, there is, once again, another reason that I do not believe these were angels. There is no such thing as evolution. For God to allow the mixing of humans with animals or angels gives credence to evolution. Now, it's contrary to the law of nature and the law of God for different species on earth to cohabit in a carnal way, much more those who have not a body of flesh. And moreover, we are here in the region of humanity and not in the sphere of superhuman spirits. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, it says, Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? We read the term sons of God. This is spiritual. Mixing with daughters of men, the ungodly. And might I say that when two people on this earth, two human beings, when they get together, they want to get married, and one is saved and one is unsaved, that union will not work unless the other person gets saved. This is the reason that many preachers and myself will not marry, perform a marriage ceremony for a person who is saved, a person who is on their way to heaven, to a person who is unsaved on their way to hell. You're asking for trouble. And that's exactly what happened back here in Genesis chapter 6. We saw godly men going into ungodly women, and there was a problem. Deuteronomy 22:10 says, Thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. They don't mix. Leviticus 19:19, You shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind. Thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed, neither shall a garment mingled of linen and woolen come upon thee. This is something that God said, you don't mix different kinds.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.